And she would be certainly able to shed, not only shed some light, but just talk to us about the reality of children who live in families where poverty has become entrenched. So I welcome as my first guest this evening, Lady Tūraiti Moxon. She is a New Zealand health leader. She is the managing director of Te Kauhau Health, and she's with us this evening. Kia ora Tūraiti. Nice to have you on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora, Mere Pika. Lovely to be here.
Well, Tūraiti, I do want to talk to you a little bit about what we would like to see, you and I would like to see in the budget. But listen, did you happen to have a glimpse, and I've only had a cursory look, at that United Nations Committee report on the rights of the child that they've just released, and it's their observations on children and how our children are faring in Aotearoa at this present time. Look, it will be no surprise to you and I, but it doesn't make for good reading.
No, well, you know, that's typical, though. There's a lot of things that don't make for good reading. But, you know, when you see, you know, and it'll be very good to see what the budget holds for all of the issues that Māori face, and you don't see that the resources are being shared fairly. We get a little bit of peanuts here and a bit of peanuts there, and then we're basically, you know, it may have been a bit more than the last budget, but it's still peanuts. And they think that other organisations, that non-Māori organisations, are still the answer to the issues that Māori are facing. And issues, actually, that were created, not by us, but by the system.
Yeah, I've often thought that we are where we are today because of absolutely abysmal policy, and it's policy that actually has increased the discrimination and prejudice towards Māori, and actually the report also highlights the poor state of Pacifica children as well. So, you know, I mean, the government needs to hold the mirror up to themselves, absolutely, don't you think?
I absolutely think that, Mere Pika, and I certainly think that the policies and the focus that the government still has is that non-Māori, non-Pacifica organisations can do it better than us. And so until they see that we are the answer to ourselves and to stop putting our children through that pipeline of removing them from the homes of their families, putting them into justice facilities, youth facilities, whatever they want to call them, and then into prisons, and then into mental health institutions, is still the pipeline. It's still here today. You know, we've been talking about this in health for a very long time, the inequities between Māori health, Pacifica health, and everybody else's health. There's still that big, huge difference. But the issue that I have is even in the sexual health space and sexual violence space, even in that space, the money that the resources that have been put into those things are still minimal. It's minimal when you think health, for example, has $24 billion. Mm. And when you look at what that looks like in terms of Māori health, you know, Kiaka Whai only got what, under 100 million? You know, yes. 24 billion, 100 million. And they call that partnership and equity? I don't think so.
No, and I do hope Te Aka Whai Ora are moving forward, because, you know, I can tell you, Tūraiti, I'm hearing whispers, and it's not all positive. So I mean, I know they've got a big job. I know that there's probably they're working in an environment that's where change is not going to be supported to any great degree. And yet people who are working in the sector say that they do want change and change is necessary. But it seems to me there's a bit of a resistance to some of the transformational change that they're wanting to bring in. And also that applies to the Māori Health Authority. Now, surely that can't be true.
Well, actually, it is true in terms of, the opposition parties have actually said that they're going to get rid of it once they get in. You know, the issue that we have, which is the issue we've always had, Pākehā always think that they know what's best for Māori. They've always believed that to their heart's content, and they put the resources behind themselves. So they're actually funding themselves to do what they think is best for us. And, you know, Meripeka, I've been saying this for a long time. We want to do this for ourselves. They put us in this situation. They created that inequity. We didn't create it. No. It was created by successive Crown agencies. And yet, here we are again, having to fight for every little morsel that we get and then justify it. Justify it. But, you know, the shoe doesn't fit on the other foot in the same way. That expectation of justifying everything doesn't fit upon themselves. And yet, as you say, with this report that's just come out on our tamariki, that report is telling them over and over again how they failed us, and yet they continue to fund themselves to huge degrees, to massive degrees. And we, Māori, are lucky to get anything out of that. Now, getting back to Te Aka Whai Ora, Te Aka Whai Ora is 9 months old.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is, everybody expects that they were going to create miracles. They're not even a year old yet. They won't be a year old until the 1st of July. And yet, here, everybody is judging them. You know, they know this. And, you know, Te Whatu Ora, it's a huge beast. 24 DHBs, and they have basically got rid of those 24 DHBs. They're centralising everything, and they're creating these localities in each of our areas. And you know, that's not a yesterday thing, because both localities require the local body, local authorities, the various groups and stakeholders in those communities to become a part of it, to buy into it, you know?
That's right.
That takes time. It's not a 5-minute job.
Yeah. No, it does take time. You're quite right. And I do know that people expect, we've had a system that hasn't served us well for at least the last 2 decades, and we've been prepared to put up with that. And now that we've got Te Aka Whai Ora and also Te Whatu Ora, now they want everything to be done within 12 months, if not sooner. The complete turnaround to be done with in less than 12 months, if not sooner. And I mean, how stupid and how... impossible was that going to be.
That's exactly right. But the expectations are unrealistic. Unrealistic. You know, because I've heard lots of good things about it. I've heard a lot of bad things about it. But I can tell you this. At least for the first time in the history of this country, we have a ministry that actually looks at the needs of Māori. Previously, everybody says one system for everybody, one health system, this, that, and the other thing. Well, it's always served who? It hasn't served Māori. Hey, it served the majority population in this country, those who have the resources, those who have the power to make decisions as to where that money goes. And it has never served us well. And we know this because every single report that comes out demonstrates very clearly how the government has failed. And it's not just this government. It's every government, and these ones think that the opposition think, oh, they know better than everybody else too, and they're going to save the Maoris again. You know, we're going to have one system. There should only be one lot of things. But who's making the decision? It isn't us. That's why I support wholeheartedly Te Aka Whai Ora, and I will continue to support it forever. Because why? Because we want a Māori education authority. We want a Māori children's authority, mokopuna authority.
That's right.
We want these things so we can determine what's tika and pono for ourselves. Mm. And that, to me, is the crux of it. Because forever and a day, since colonization, the days of colonization, and all those racist legislation that was put in time after time to assimilate us. Here we are. Here we are still trying to fight for our day in the sun. Mm-hmm. Then and people still saying, oh, no, 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 Māori's getting something more than everybody else. But we are not. And every report backs us up in that score. And yet here we are having to face those ugly, ugly whakaaros that these people put out constantly to brainwash the majority population in this country, to brainwash them, to say Māoris are getting more than everybody else. There should be only one system. Well, if that one system worked for everyone, we wouldn't be in this situation. It only works for the majority.
That's true. And the other thing that always never ceases, absolutely, 280, it never ceases to amaze me how Pākehā, and I say that, how Pākehā can just fall into the trap and actually allow themselves to be brainwashed. I mean, don't they ever put on their thinking cap? Don't they, aren't they observing what's happening? You know, I just think, my God, you are so gullible that you would believe bloody anything.
Well, that's a fact. It's true. Because why? Because basically, you know, we've been oppressed, we are depressed, we have the poorest people in this country, we have the worst education statistics of anybody, we have the worst social statistics of everybody, then we've got the worst criminal statistics and correction statistics, and look at the police statistics than anybody in this country. And yet, you know what? Yet, no one sees, hey, there's something wrong with this picture. You know, why is it that we are, you know, we're less than 20% of the population, and yet more than half of our people are being pipelined through this system that actually has created the problems. You know, everybody's talking about ram raids, eh? Everybody's talking about all these things. Well, how do you think that happened? That didn't happen just out of nowhere. That happened because people created the situation whereby it happened by putting our children into care and into a system that doesn't care, into a system that actually abused our children and actually stole them from their parents and never gave them back until they were 18. And then, Medipika, they got kicked out. They got kicked That's out right. of that system and basically told, oh, you can leave now. You can go and make your work. How are we going to do that? No, now they're trying to do something. They're trying to do something, but it's still, you know, nothing can replace the love of whānau. Nothing. You know, no system can do that.
Well, I see that where actors are advocating, I think the building of a facility that will take 200 of our young people, you know, who they consider to be bad kids, and place them in there. And we all know what happens when the state has a hand in taking our children, whether it's into the foster care situation or the childcare situation, and even, of course, if it's into a child youth facility, we know what happens to our children. And I thought, oh my God, when I listened to act proposing that, I thought, my God, that's like yesterday's solution, and it's like going back to the future. I just thought, have we not moved past that?
Well, actually, we haven't, because their solutions are protect us, protect our property, protect our resources, protect ourselves. You see, the whole system is geared towards protecting those in power, protecting those who have the resources, protecting those, you know, who are better off than most, you know, than most Māori. That's what the system is geared to do. And, you know, it's, you know, that saying, hey, about, you know, that it's the parliament that creates the laws, it's courts that interpret the laws, and it is the police who enforce the laws. And so when you've got that kind of grunt and power behind what they're doing in terms of what has been happening. This is not, you know, a yesterday thing. This is something that's been happening since the days of colonization. It's been, and it continues to protect itself. It continues to pour money into itself so that Māori actually end up worse off than we would have had we been given the resources to look after ourselves. Now, and we're always going to be worse off because everybody thinks that they have the ability to make decisions for all of New Zealanders, including Māori, when they have failed dismally.
Yeah.
And we've got so many reports about that, you know.
That's right. And we certainly have. So in terms of the budget coming up, and I mean, of course, the Minister of Finance, Grant Robertson, has said that, you know, it's going to be, I don't think he used the word austere, but it's going to be a prudent budget because obviously, Cyclone Gabrielle, we've had to see money directed there. But in terms of perhaps from your mahi, from your work, or from, you know, your awareness of the social issues that are impacting Māori, whānau Māori, Tūraiti, what is it that you would hope that might be one or two areas in the budget that you hope will get something will be there?
Well, you know, this has always been my view. You know, we're, almost 20% of the population, so we should get 20% of the budget. And we should get 20% of that $24 million that they were given, billion that they were given in 2022. If that rises, we should be given 20% of that. But you see, it never happens that way because we're always the poor cousin. And we've always been the poor cousin. But that's what I would say, right across the board. Mm. And the fact is they should relinquish power and turn it over to whānau hapū iwi, Māori providers, and you know, in the case of Pacifica, to them to run these things, do these things for ourselves. There's huge amounts of money coming out all over the place, but it's never really cohesive in what they're doing. Instead, you know, they'll give a bit over here and a bit over there, like the $44 million that's supposed to come out for all for the underfunding to Māori providers and Māori PHOs, $44 million, which is different compared to the Superior report, where he said that, you know, Māori were underfunded to the tune of just under $500 million, and yet we haven't seen the end result of that yet. And I'm really, really keen to see what the government is going to do about that in terms of underfunding. Even going forward, you know that Meripeka. So yes, I've got hopes.
We all live in hopes.
Yeah, that's right.
The one thing I'd love to see on Thursday is that some significant budget dollars will go into the training of New Zealand, of our New Zealand health workforce, because I know they're screaming out for nurses from overseas and radiologists, everybody. They want to bring them all in from overseas. I cannot understand, and particularly I would say for Māori who very much lean towards caring and awhi and looking after whānau, I'd love to see a good percentage of the budget, the health budget, go into the training opportunities to be created so that New Zealand workforce can be bolstered rather than always having to rely and bring people in from overseas who really don't know us, who have no idea of cultural competency or anything like that, and they bring their own backgrounds with them as well. So that's something that I would like to see.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to see that more and more. The issue that we have with a lot of that is, even though we have a lot of Māori who present into these training institutions, you know, as nurses and, you know, to become nurses and whatnot, they fail. So the question that those institutions need to ask themselves is, why is that? You know, there used to be a time when they could go into the hospital and learn all those fabulous skills, you know, the skills. Because when I first came into health, you know, that's 20 years ago, when I first came into health, we only took nurses who came from the hospital, who had been trained in under hospital care, because they had a full suite of training and experience and whatnot. But, you know, now we take them straight from the school. you know, and then we have to train them up. That takes about a year to get them into any gig. Then we've got to give them extra training. It's just phenomenal the way that this country actually, you know, there's no real cohesion to what everybody is doing. And some group will get a little bit of money, that group will get another bit of money, and whatnot. And so we have this continuous cycle of, you know, if the government puts money in, then it'll happen. If the government doesn't put money in, it won't happen. Mm. You know, it's that kind of thing. I do talk of what you say in terms of us doing that for ourselves. And I certainly want to see more of that with our people. And instead of putting our people into the institutions and, you know, throwing away the key as they have done for centuries, I want to see something better. I want to see transformational change in every single one of those government departments that actually changes the paradigm of the way in which they do things. And are those people who trot out, oh, yes, we're going to throw them into this and we're going to build even that facility. I don't know whether you know about that facility that's at Waikerea. They've built this monstrosity of a prison. Monstrosity. Yeah. And they've got 200 rooms for mental health patients in a prison.
Yeah. Now, that tells you something.
And is that the place to heal, a prison? What are they doing? You see, that's wasting money. It's wasting taxpayers' money. It's inefficient. Those people will come out worse because every government department has actually produced people who are worse off than they were when they went in.
That's every right. That'll be lives wasted in there, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's right. Have I changed Medipicker?
No, not at all. Not at all, my dear. Not at all.